Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
With me tonight, the 1 Timothy chapter 6. And no surprise, we continue our series on the good fight of faith. Amen. We're going to read there in just one moment. Thank you. Amen. We're going to read there tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Notice it says here that it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and is professed a good confession before many witnesses. Verse 13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Jesus Christ who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Notice something here as we go back to verse 12. If you notice that with me where it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you also call and have confessed the good confession. Notice the phrase there, the good confession. Amen. Actually, what we find by reading verse 12 and 13 is you'll find this phrase, the good confession, twice, and you'll find once it says, and has confessed. So there's three times that we actually find either the phrase, the good confession, we find that twice, or confess, the good confession, or confession, three different times in those two verses. Amen. That we actually have thought here. And what I want to, for those that are taking notes tonight, we're going to entitle tonight's message, The Good Confession. And what we're going to be talking about is that the place that faith's confession holds in the believer's life and in fighting the good fight of faith. I'm going to say that again. We're going to be talking about the place that faith confession holds in the believer's life and in the good fight of faith. And so here's what we found as we look once again in verse 12. You've heard me say this on almost every time, and there's been quite a few messages now on this, that there is a fight to faith, but it is a faith fight. In other words, it's the fight to stay in faith, or you could say like this, it's the stand of faith that the believer is to take upon the Word of God, being unmoved by people, things, circumstances, and situations that would try to sway us or move us or throw us from our place or our position of faith. Amen. So what this is telling us is really the good confession. Notice once again, and has confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Notice once again, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Notice what this is telling us is that the good confession actually is how we fight the good fight of faith and how we lay hold on eternal life. Can you see that? I'm going to say that again. This is telling us that the good confession is actually how we fight the good fight of faith and how we lay hold on eternal life. And for this illustrates, we have this illustrated to us in verse 13 as well as Jesus fought the good fight of faith using the good confession. So let's look at verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Jesus Christ who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Notice it's given us the example of Jesus Christ, how he actually fought the good fight of faith, how he laid hold on eternal life, and how he had the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Amen. And so this is an illustration to us that our good confession or confession of faith keeps us in faith and therefore fighting the good fight of faith. So notice again, Jesus fought the good fight using the good confession. Now, without turning there, we can look at the gospel accounts. And we, when it says, it tells us what good confession, when he did that, before Pontius Pilate. And before Pontius Pilate, let me remind you of a few things that Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the King of the Jews. Jesus said, I came to tell the world of the truth. And he said, I am the Son of God. Amen. These are the things that is witness. He had the good confession before Pontius Pilate. And his example is exactly mirrored of what our example is supposed to be. In other words, when we face tests, trials, or things that try to challenge our faith, we're to have the good confession. And how we actually fight the good fight of faith is with our good confession of faith. Can I get an amen? And so, hallelujah, I'll say it again, that like Jesus, our confession or our good confession or our confession of faith keeps us in faith and therefore fighting the good fight of faith. So notice again in verse 12, it tells us the good confession here is how we fight the good fight of faith, but it's also how we lay hold on eternal life. Okay, so we might not ever get much thought about what does it mean to lay hold on eternal life, because this says our good confession is actually how we not only fight the good fight of faith, but how we lay hold on to eternal life. Amen. So lay hold on means to take, actually it means to take possession of. It means to take possession of. It means to possess or to make something your very own. And we could say like this, when it says to take possession of or to make it your very own, and actually when it says take hold of eternal life, it actually means to take hold of something, and I hope you understand how I'm using this analogy. You take hold of it and milk it for everything it's worth. In other words, you get everything out of eternal life. And how you and I are going to get everything out of eternal life that's provided for us is by our good confession. Is by our good confession. And so what is eternal life? Well, you need to understand eternal life is the God kind of life. And it's one thing to say that I have eternal life because I have the Son of God, but and that is truth. How many know that he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not eternal life? That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. But what we must understand is that eternal life is not only represents it's actually the God kind of life. And it's the same identical quality of life that God has. And if we have never thought about that, then this is why when Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life, this is eternal life, and life more abundantly, or life till it overflows. So a lot of times when we think about eternal life, we think about the duration of life. But actually, eternal life is talking about not only the duration, it's really the quality of life. The kind of life that God has. It not only is unending, but how many know that not only does God have unending life, but God is life. And everything that is good in God is eternal life. And what God wants us to understand is that God wants us to receive His best. His best. This is why it says that in John 10:10, the thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. One translation says, life in its fullness, or life to its overflowing. And so our limited conception or perception of eternal life, if we only think it means the duration of life, which it does include that, instead of the quality of life or the same kind of life that God the Father has and God the Son has, and now that we have by receiving eternal life, then we have sold it short. So what we must understand is that lay hold on means to take possession of eternal life, means to that we actually find out what eternal life has provided, and which includes God's very highest and his best, and actually everything that's willed by God is included in eternal life. And so we need to be able to possess it and lay hold on it and milk it for everything that it's worth. In other words, get everything out of it. Get everything out of it that is provided, and the way we get it is by our good confession. In other words, the way we possess it is by through our good confession. It may be ours in theory. It is actually the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of life. But it becomes our in experience by our confession of faith. Amen. And this is how the good confession is actually how we fight the good fight of faith. And, or one way we do, and it helps us fight the good fight of faith, as well as laying hold on to eternal life. Now, I'm going to ask that slide 6 get put up, and I put it like this. I lay hold on, or we, you and I, lay hold on, we have or possess everything willed by God in salvation by my continued or our continued confession of faith in Christ. So we got to understand that everything willed by God in salvation includes eternal life. But it's in eternal life. What belongs to you in salvation? What belongs to you in salvation? The word salvation means, it means not just saved, it means healed, it means preserved, it means delivered, it means preserved, it means it's an all-inclusive term that means that concerning the things that God wants and has given to us in Christ Jesus becomes ours in salvation in theory, but it becomes our in experience through our confession. And so our fighting the good fight of faith and our laying hold on eternal life has everything to do with the good confession. Everybody say the good confession. Amen. So you could say like this. This means to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life requires a good confession. And so that's what I want to talk about. What should we be saying with our mouth? Now, we know when we get saved, we don't supposed to be cursing. We don't supposed to be bad-mouthing one another. And there's a lot of things that we're supposed to turn loose of, and that's good that we don't supposed to say. You need to learn that too. But if that's all we do, and we don't, and that's good, but that's way short of what God wants. He wants us, instead of stop saying the wrong thing, he wants us to learn to say the right thing, because learning to say the right thing is what's going to advance us in our faith and in our victory and cause us to win in life. So this requires a good confession. And the fight of faith has a good confession or a continual confession of faith. And so this isn't a one and done thing. It's an everyday thing. Let me tell you something. If you get tired of saying what God says in his word, then you're not fighting the good fight of faith. You know, your flesh is lazy just like my flesh is lazy. Jesus reminded us the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to train ourselves. If we know this provides us victory and this is how we fight the good fight of faith. And remember, the fight of faith is a faith fight. It's the fight to stay in faith. It's the fight that it's actually the fight to stay in faith, or the stand of faith we must take. And it means that we're going to have a good confession if we're going to do that. So we're going to have to be saying something. A lot of times people say, well, I'm not saying the wrong thing, Pastor Chris, but you're not saying the right thing either, and you lose by default by not saying the right thing. It's great that we've stopped saying the wrong thing, because we do know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen. And we can speak blessing to a life and curse to a life. So we may stop speaking the curse to a life, but we need to start speaking the blessing. And we do that by the good confession, by our continual confession of faith, because of our identification or our union with Christ. Amen. So let's talk about what the word confession means. Because a lot of times when people when we talk about confession, we need to define it by the Bible. What the Bible means by having a confession or the good confession. Well, we should see here that it meant exactly what Jesus said. When Pilate confronted him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "I am the king of the Jews. I am the Son of God. And I've come to bring life. And although I've come to bring the truth to the earth." When he said all those things, how many know that Jesus' good confession was saying exactly what the Father had said of him? Our good confession, therefore, will always be equivalent to what the Father says about you and I. If we are not saying what the Father says or the Word says about you and I, we don't have a good confession yet. We may be saved, we may be on our way to heaven, we may be good moral people and have a lot of things going for us, but I can tell you, you're not going to win the fight of faith by being silent. And what we have to do is the thing that Jesus, in other words, our continual confession or our good confession causes us to be unmoved from our place of faith, in faith and our stand of faith. Praise God. When we say what the Father says about us, that makes God happy. Amen. And this is what we need to say. So just like Jesus did, Jesus gave us this example. So here's what we want to do. We want to define the word confession. Confession means to agree with, or to literally means to say the same thing. I'm going to say it again. Confession from the Word of God means to agree with or to say the same thing. Amen. And so really it means to the good confession or faith confession means to say the same thing that God says about you. So to agree with means to confess means to agree with. To agree with God or to say the same thing. It means to say the same thing that God is saying about you. Well, you're going to have to know the Bible to know what God has said about you. But how many know that all of us can know what God says about us by reading the Bible? Amen. Amen. Particular in the New Testament, where you have approximately 130 or more instances where the phrase "in Christ," "in Him," "in the Lord," are there in the Apostle Paul's letters to the New Testament church, or the epistles that Paul wrote. This term, he termed it "in Christ." If any man be in Christ. This, where you see "in Christ," "in Him," "in the Lord," "in whom," all these are terms of identification. They're things that we are, that identifies what God says about us. And the good news is this: what God says about Christ, He says about us. If we're in Christ, then you just know this, that notice all these terms are become real about us because we're in Christ. The moment we get in Christ, then whatever's true about Christ becomes true about us. And this is what God wants us to see and to say. So let's look at a couple verses that say this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. it says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So notice our confession. We've got a confession. Amen. Now let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And that we will read from the Amplified. Let us then fiercely and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time of need and appropriate help and well-timed help coming and just when we need it. So notice that we can come boldly to him. Amen. We can come boldly. Why? Because of what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. Confession is confirming what the Word of God says. It's confirming the Word of God. It is a confession of one's confidence in what God has spoken. Amen. And what God has spoken about us. It is saying what God has said, and that includes what God has said about you and I, or you could say like this, about you and I because we are in Christ. Philemon, it's only one chapter, verse 6. Let's look at this. We're going to read it from the King James Version here. It says, The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice what one translation says, the sharing of your faith becomes effectual. What does the word effectual mean? It means powerful. It becomes mighty. What you say becomes your, in other words, the communication, the sharing of your faith becomes powerful as it becomes powerful by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Well, the word acknowledging, when we say acknowledge, we would say, well, we are confessing something. We're acknowledging it. We're saying something. Isn't that right? But in all actuality, this word here, that's not wrong, but this word actually means the exact knowledge of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. This word means the precise and perfect knowledge of everything that belongs to us because we're in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what God wants us to have. He says that's when our faith starts working right. And when we start saying what we are, what we have, and what we can do because we are in Christ, then our faith is working the way it's supposed to work. One translation says, of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Well, where are you going to find every good thing that belongs to you in Christ from? The Word of God. Particular where you find the letters that Paul wrote, where you see the phrase once again, in Christ, in the Lord, in whom. When those phrases there, that actually tells you who you and I have become because we are actually in Christ. Now, in other words, what God wanted to do in man, he did in Christ and then put us in him. So what we have to understand, if we find out what God did in Christ, then we find out what God did for us. And when we understand that we got put in Christ, that means that every good thing that we have is because of what's in Christ. Another thing, whatever's in Christ is in us. And it's our continual confession of that, our good confession, that causes us to not only lay hold of everything that belongs to us in Christ, but causes us to be immovable, standing and fighting from the victory, not for the victory, fighting with it, not trying to get it. And that's important for us to know. So this is why it's so important that we find out every good thing that belongs to us in Christ. So every benefit and blessing that is in us in Christ must be acknowledged and declared. Amen. That's how that we fight the good fight of faith, and that's how we lay hold on eternal life, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Do you get that? Yes, I'm going to say it again. Every benefit and blessing that is in us in Christ must be acknowledged and declared. Yeah. If it's going to work for us, we must know it and we must declare it. That's how we release our faith. That's how we are unmoved in our fight of faith. That's how we lay hold on eternal life. That's how we fight the good fight of faith. That's how we have the stand of faith and are unmoved when opposition comes. Heaven and earth, you're going to have something to say. When the devil came against Jesus in the wilderness temptation, notice he couldn't stop the devil from saying something. But when the devil finished saying what he said, Jesus always had a reply. And he always replied with a good confession. He always replied with the Word of God. He always personalized the Word of God and made it his own. And that's what you and I are going to have to do. This is why we must know what the benefits, the privileges, and the blessings are that belong to us in Christ. So let's give us an example tonight as we wind down tonight. So what are we to confess? In other words, we're to say what God says about us. We're to say what belongs to us. And we're to say what we can do because we have these things. Or you could say like this. What are we to confess? Well, our confession should be around three main things. Who we are in Christ, what we have or possess because we're in Christ, our inheritance, and what we can do because we're in Christ, the power to live this life. So what are we to confess? Let's go through these three things. Who we are. Not who we used to be, but who we are now. You know, God would really appreciate we stop talking about who we used to be. Now, unless we are testifying to the glory of God, I mean, we may bring up the things we used to do, but we only do it from a perspective of showing where God has brought us to and delivered us from. But God would appreciate us stop calling ourselves anything other than He calls us. Amen? Because, you know, we may forget, when God forgives and forgets, it no longer exists. It no longer exists. And He would have, listen, I'm going to say that again. I hope you get it. It no longer, it's just as if it never happened. And so it would be of poor choice to remind God. It's not humble to come to God. Things that we've repented, God, to come to God and say, God, I'm so sorry what I did again and again and again and again. That's not faith. And the devil will use that against us to hold us in bondage. That we're not going to fight the good fight of faith that way. The fighting the good fight of faith is going to be able, we're only going to be able to do that by a continual good confession. Once you've confessed something, if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all is all. It means it don't exist anymore. I mean, so it's gone. And it should be gone out of our memory. Unfortunately, we still have a mind that has to be renewed, and we have a devil that tries to remind us. But remember, if he can't deceive you, he can't defeat you. The way he defeats us is by getting us to acknowledge something that he says instead of that God says. So what are we to confess? Well, who we are. So let's just look at this portion of Scripture and show you things. I could say it, but it's good that we look at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. These are things that we're to confess. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. In Christ. Or in Christed. In other words, in union with. Now, maybe I should have spent tonight just from this place talking about it, but I won't. I'll pick up on another time and do this and talk about this. It's important that we understand that in Christ is a relational term, and it means in union with. Amen. And because we actually are in union with Christ, we actually have a whole new identity. Right. We have the... So what is identity? Identity actually tells you who you are. This is telling you who you are, how God sees you, what He calls you, and He appreciates you and I calling us the same thing that He calls us. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. So we're to say who we are. We should say every day we're new creatures in Christ. Yeah. Amplified translation says the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. The new has come. So that means there's a new moral and spiritual condition. On the inside, in your spirit, you can't get no more perfect. In your spirit, you're new. Your mind ain't. That's the problem. That has to be renewed to line up with what God's word says so that your spirit, from what's true about your spirit, you dominate from here and not let this and this control you, because your body is telling you something else. And your mind will tell you something else. But the Word of God is telling us what we're to think on and what we're to believe and actually who we are in our spirits. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So you should say every day, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, old things become new. One translation says the old life is gone. The new life has begun. Hello, new life. Hello, new creature. Enjoy your new life in Christ. Amen. How many know, just in case you didn't know, there's no sin in the new life. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sin. It just means you're not a sinner. You're a new creature now. You were a sinner and you were saved by grace. Now you're a new creature. You were sick, now God calls you healed. Come on. You were a loser, now God calls you a winner. You were lost, now God calls you saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. This book is a revelation of your new life, a revelation of the new you and the new life that belongs to you and I. All things have become new. Okay? So you can say every day, you can wake up and say, I'm a new creature. The old life is gone. New life has begun. But let's don't stop there. So we're talking about who we are. This is the good confession. This is what you're to be saying. I'm asking you, don't say it out loud. When's the last time you called yourself a new creation? When's the last time you say, I'm in Christ? And because I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. Yeah. Well, it should be every day. It should be every day. If you're going to win and fight the good fight of faith and win in it, you're going to be doing that. Now look, all things are, in other words, when it says all things are of God, it means all these things we're talking about, they're of God. Who hath? In other words, you didn't save yourself and you didn't give yourself this. God's unmerited favor and grace gives us all of this. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But at faith and at place it, the moment you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you get in Christ. And God says whatever is true about Christ now is true about you. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you can say, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a minister of reconciliation. Well, Pastor Chris, you poor, pitiful me. I could never do that. I don't know what to say. Shut up and say what the Word says. Call yourself a new creature and call yourself a minister of reconciliation. Amen. Verse 19, it says, namely that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and committed to us the word of reconciliation. So you are a minister of reconciliation because you have a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, And now then we are ambassadors for Christ. So we need to say, not only am I a new creature in Christ, not only am I a new creature in Christ, but now I have a minister of reconciliation. I have a minister of reconciliation because I'm a minister of reconciliation and I'm ambassador for Jesus Christ. How many know that the king or whoever is in the government sends their best representative? How many know God sent Christ? It was his best. And now you're in him. That's why you're his best. Listen, God ain't got B plan. We are it. The church is it. We're in Christ. God don't have a B plan. We are it. Verse 21, and it says, for we have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And you add it to, not only you're a new creature in Christ, you have a minister, you're a minister of reconciliation, and have a ministry of reconciliation, because you're a minister of reconciliation, and you're an ambassador in Christ, but you're also the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to say that every day. You better confess it, because your faith will rise or fall to the level of your confession. Your faith will rise or fall to the level of your confession. Amen. Let's go through these a couple more real quick. These are things we could say who we are. What else are we supposed to confess? What we have. Well, here's look at this. Let's look at three verses real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Notice it says we have the spirit of faith. We have, it's talking to believers here. Listen, stop calling yourself a doubter if you are a believer. Call yourself a believer. Wake up every day, you're a believer. Call yourself a believer. I'm a believer, not a doubter. When I doubt my doubts, I have faith in my faith in God. And I have the same spirit of faith. Let's look at a couple other verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Wake up every day and say, I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have it. I have it. I'm not trying to get it. Some people think this is pie in the sky. It'll happen when we get to heaven. Or when I feel it, I'll believe it, Pastor Chris. That's not how it works. You open your mouth. The good confession is a continual confession of faith of what God says about you. Amen. And he says you have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, saying you have the mind of Christ. How about every day waking up and saying, I have the mind of Christ. Now, I say wake up, but I'm saying these are things you need to say all throughout the day, or especially when you're tempted to with thoughts that tell you you're something else. When you have thoughts that are confronting you or people that say things about you that are contrary to the Word of God, some of you may be living with a spouse that's ungodly, and you're believing for their salvation. They may call you everything but a child of God. But what you say about it is what counts, not what anybody else says about it. I know words are powerful. You need to take them seriously. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make sure that when you hear those things, you replace it with what the Word says about you. If not, you'll be beat down. God don't want you beat down. He wants you built up. Amen. And I know I'm believing with you for your loved one. Praise God. But until they learn this, learn what you learn, they're only doing what a sinner does, sin. Yeah. Amen. And sinners talk like sinners. But believers should talk like believers. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then, okay, so I gave you a couple of examples of what we're to confess, who we are, and then what we have. Here we go. Here's what we have. The mind of Christ, spirit of faith. Amen. Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And then what can we do? That's the third thing we need to be confessing. What we can do. What power we have. The power that we have to live this life. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ or in Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. Yeah. Woo! In other words, the reason you can do what you've done, never done before is because you are who you never been before. Do I need to say that again? The reason you can do what you've never done before is because you are who you've never been before. You've never been in Christ before until you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Here's something else that you can do. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18 tells us this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, preacher. Look at your other neighbor and say, hello, preacher. Praise God. Amen. He's talking about disciples. Let me ask you, are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Christ? Then he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means that we can. We need to know what the gospel is. Amen. It's good news. Amen. And it begins with you just telling people what God has done for you. Tell your story and then learn God's story and He'll get all the glory. But notice it says that we can preach. That He's given us the power to be able to do this. Then He goes on and says, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So God is giving you the power to get people saved. In other words, to preach and get people saved. Isn't that right? Hello, soul winner. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, soul winner. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what God wants you to call yourself. Hallelujah. Look at, hello, preacher. Hello, soul winner. Come on. Say what God's word says about you. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on and says, look at verse 17. And he says, in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, so once again, you're a believer. So you call yourself a believer. In my name, thou shalt cast out devils. So the very first thing it tells you is that you can exercise authority over the devil. Very first thing, you need to say, I can exercise authority over the devil. I got just as much authority over the devil as Jesus has. The difference is, He knows it, you might not yet. But He wants you to know it. He's the very first thing He said, sign to follow is, you got His authority to cast out devils or to exercise authority over the devil. That means to say no to him, get out of my life, leave my body, leave my life, come on. Or whoever else you're praying for, because you have a authority in His name to say what He said. To cast out devils, speak with new tongues. Go as it, if we drink anything, it'll not, verse 18, it'll not harm us. And we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's something you can do, lay hands on the sick. Now see, whether you've ever done it or not, that the reason why you haven't done it is because you probably never confessed it. Because your faith will rise to the level of your confession. If you want bold faith, you're going to have a bold confession. A good confession. Amen. For whatever God has said about something or about us, we need to say the same thing. And that's the good confession that's referred to in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Amen. For the word to work for you, it must be in your mouth. Actually, it needs to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. This is why we need to meditate on the word of God to get that belief in our heart. And then it's belief in our heart, say it in our mouth, that has the power to change everything. Now let's close at looking at this tonight. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, if you would please. Proverbs 22, 17 and 18, we'll close with this. We're going to read it from two translations. Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. Verse 18, it says, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. The word is to be fitted in thy lips. And so in other words, the word of God, you could say like this, the word of God is custom fit for your lips. It was spoken so it could be written, but it was written so it could be spoken. Let's read it from the Amplified Translation, and it says it like this. Listen, consent, submit to the word of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them, and your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. Amen. So the confession of our faith is, this is what Brother Kenneth E. Hagin said. The confession of our faith is one of the most important, significant, and valuable teachings in all of the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. The confession of our faith is one of the most important, significant, valuable teachings in all the Word of God. And if you're going to lay hold on eternal life and fight the good of fight of faith, you're going to have a good confession. You're going to have it. Once again, in closing, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the good fight of faith has a good confession, and a good confession is what God has said and actually what He said about you and I. Your and my acknowledgement and confession of faith determines if we're actually going to win. Because you're going to have to say what God says about you. Not how you feel. Not what somebody else has said about you. Not even what obviously not what the devil says. And not what your mind tells you sometimes. What does the Word say about you? Say it and then call yourself that. If it calls you a new creature, call yourself a new creature. If it calls you saved, call yourself saved. If it says you have eternal life, thank God you have eternal life. If it calls you healed, call yourself healed. If it calls you well, call yourself well. If it says you have the mind of Christ, say you have the mind of Christ. Say what the Word of God says. That's how you lay hold on eternal life and get everything that's willed by God in your salvation out of it. And it's how you fight and I fight the good fight of faith. It's by our good confession or our continual confession of faith. Let me say it like this. If you get tired of saying what the Word of God says about you, then you lose. Not because God doesn't make you a champion. It's because we lay down on our faith. So this is not, you see, this is why a lot of times people don't like stuff like this, because it puts us on the responsibility. They, you know, listen, disciples have rules for responsibility. You got to know the Word and you got to do the Word. But that's how we win. I was never offended because somebody told me this is how you win. I wanted to know how to win. I was tired of losing. I said, I want to know. Even if, man, I had to do something. I'm not doing something to earn it. I'm not talking about that. But there is an activity of faith, and one of the activities of faith is your good confession. And it's one of the very first things that you and I are going to have to learn as believers in Jesus Christ. Stand with me to your feet tonight, and let's make a good confession tonight. Amen. See, a good confession, thank you, Betsy. A good confession doesn't go by what it feels. It goes by what the Word says. You believe what the Word says. Doesn't go by what somebody said about you. Remember, Jesus said, you have what you say, not what they say. And the truth is, we're the sum total of what we have believed and what we've said in our life. If we don't like it, then let's change what we're believing and saying. That's what I've had to do. And I'm still on that journey. Praise the Lord. But it's a good journey, because it's one we win in. Amen. Hello, winner. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, winner. Praise God. Yeah. Put one hand on your heart tonight. Amen. Because that's where we believe God with. Amen. And we express it through our mouth. And let's lift a hand to heaven, because that's where help comes from. And let's say this together. I am a new creature. in Christ Jesus. I am an ambassador. I am His representative. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Old life is gone. New life has begun. I hear the voice of the good shepherd. And the voice of a stranger I not heed. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am the healed. I am the redeemed. I am the delivered. And I say so. Now thank God for it in here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank You and we praise You and we bless You. Hallelujah for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I'm going to close with I said I was closing. I was. I'm closing again. Praise the Lord. I really try to close this time. You know, Christianity has been called the Great Confession. And I think about this. You know, I've had everybody to raise their hand, put their hand on their heart. But what if tonight you're in here because, you know, even though you may think I know everybody in here, there are times that people slip in. I don't know everybody in here. The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's why it's called the Great Confession. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. With the heart, man believes and is made righteous. With his confession, salvation is the result. With his mouth, confession is made, resulting in his salvation. Confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, in order to be saved, it wasn't the confession of your sins that got you saved. It's the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that got you saved. And I remind us in here tonight, why don't we just bow our hearts, just bow our heads and our hearts one time. If you're in here tonight and you've never made Jesus or did that, actually made Him the Lord of your life, confessed Him as Lord and Savior over your life, then you need to do that. That's how you're saved. That's how you say it's your confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that saves us, not the confession of our sins. By confessing Him as Lord, then we say, Lord, You be my Lord. You come into my heart. And when we do, we become a new creation. That doesn't mean that repentance and it isn't important. It just means there's a lot of times people can ask God to forgive them. I did that for years of my life, asked God to forgive me, but I wasn't saved because I've never called upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ.